And what's, I think, fortunately happening is that now the pendulum is kind of swinging back and we have some more mix of these two. And so my message kind of generally is that it's going to be the combination of human and artificial intelligence where there's really a lot of synergy, and it's going to be key to tackling all sorts of grand challenges. And so I'm going to end with some examples and kind of give you a feel of what's going on now. So one of the points that I want to make is that, you know, when you think about theory, you probably think about like Einstein or Newton and equations maybe or something like that. And that's certainly true, but modern theories are much more complicated than just a simple equation. If you want to describe a complicated phenomena like air flowing around an airplane wing, or what's going on with how an epidemic spreads, or how the neurons in a brain, signal each other to do something, or particle physics, or the evolution of the universe, or how proteins fold, these get to be quite complicated, but we still have mechanisms, scientific theories that describe them, but more and more they get put on computers. You code them up, you describe what you want to do, and you can simulate them. So really, simulators are kind of the modern version of theories. You know, it's like conceptually the same idea as a theory, just a lot more complicated, a lot more moving parts, and allows experts of different, with different kinds of expertise to come together to describe the same phenomena. And so I'll just make the statement at the bottom that the forefront of scientific knowledge is often encapsulated in these simulators. But unfortunately, the simulators are really poorly suited for a lot of downstream tasks that you want to do. So for instance, if you want to do statistical inference, it's difficult to use a simulator directly. There was a nice thing about writing these simple equations is that you could manipulate them mathematically. Simulators are a little bit harder to work with. Another point is if you want to design an experiment, in principle, you should be able to use the simulators to help you design an experiment. In practice, it's hard. And other kinds of things like decision making, like for instance, you want to model an epidemic, that's great. And you want to use that model to try to drive your decision making about should you close the airport or something like that. That's harder. And there's a quote attributed to Paul Dirac, who's a famous physicist that was responsible for quantum mechanics and things like that. He says, "The underlying physical laws for the mathematical theory of a large part of physics and the whole of chemistry are thus completely known. And the difficulty is only that the exact application of these laws leads to equations that are much too complicated to be soluble." So his point is there is basically we understand the rules of the game for chemistry, but that doesn't mean like we solved all the things you can do with chemistry, because it's really, really hard still. And so this is where we're now getting to, is that there's this idea that if you look at the history of science, that there have been important paradigms. And the first one was this very empirical, just you're observing the world, you're keeping track of like different kinds of species and things like that.